20 tons of cocaine lost when a ship's captain got too high and hallucinated approaching U.S. Coast Guard ships. A $100 million bribe to a former Mexican president, and a witness testifying that a drug kingpin buried alive one of his rivals. No, these aren't plot points from a crime film or a telenovela. These are revelations we've learned from the El Chapo trial. After 35 days of testimony by more than 50 witnesses, the Mexican drug lord's trial is soon coming to an end. The prosecution rested their case on Monday, quickly followed by the defense. El Chapo? Well, he never took the stand. As the trial wraps up, we called Keegan Hamilton from Vice News. He's the host of the podcast, Chapo, Kingpin on Trial. And he's at the courthouse. Keegan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We mentioned in the introduction that the key person in all this, El Chapo himself, did not take the stand. Why not?
It's an interesting question. Usually in trials, criminal trials, the defendant does not take the stand just because it's risky. When they're up there and getting questioned by their own lawyers, it can go quite well and they can tell their side of the story. But when it gets handed over to the prosecutors for cross-examination, it opens the defendant up to self-incrimination, to perjury, to just a real grilling from the government. So I think Chapo may have wanted to do that, but once he realized what he would be exposed to, he decided it was a bad idea and opted to remain silent.
Let's talk a little bit about the Sinaloa cartel's IT guy who later became an informant for the FBI. And like I said, you cannot make this stuff up.
Yes, this fellow is named Christian Rodriguez. He's a Colombian who was recommended to Chapo from another Colombian drug lord who was one of Chapo's cocaine suppliers. He built basically a custom encrypted communications network that allowed the cartel to make phone calls and send secure text messages to each other. The FBI had been trying to crack this network and couldn't do it, so they eventually just approached Rodriguez and said, you can either work with us or you can go to prison. He chose the former and gave them access to the servers that he'd set up, which allowed them to get all of these recorded phone calls that Chapo and his associates had made, as well as text messages that they'd been sending each other. And on top of that, Chapo had also used this guy to set up a commercial spyware on the phones of his wife and mistresses. And that spyware made a record of all of their communications. And so he handed that information over to the FBI as well.
Well, you mentioned El Chapo's mistress, Lucero Sanchez. She actually took the stand in what was, I would imagine, a pretty contentious testimony. What did she have to say?
Her testimony was pretty dramatic. She had quite the story. She discussed how she sort of got sucked into a relationship with Chapo that she felt she couldn't escape. He was asking her to go into the mountains of Sinaloa, where she was from, to buy hundreds of kilos of marijuana on his behalf. And then she was with him at key points throughout the course of his story, including when he escaped naked through a tunnel under his bathtub. She was sleeping at his side and was with him as he ducked into the tunnel and fled Mexican Marines and the DEA.
Now, we know El Chapo was someone who had a lot of power, a lot of control. There was one witness, a hitman known as Memin, who talked about how he saw El Chapo basically torture people. What else did Memin reveal in the trial?
I mean, the torture was certainly the most dramatic part of his testimony, and I think why prosecutors called him as the last cooperator, so that any jurors who may have had some sympathy left for Chapo and said he's not such a bad guy, after hearing him testify about that, I think everyone who's in the jury box was just stunned. Memin also talked about his role as a pilot for the Sinaloa cartel flying drug shipments from Colombia. So his testimony, like that of the other cooperators before him, was quite damning. It's quite hard to keep the escapes straight. So there were two separate ones. One that involved the mistress was at a house in Culiacan, Sinaloa, where the DEA and Mexican Marines came early in the morning, caught Chapo by surprise. He jumped out of bed without clothes on, tripped a secret switch that lifted up his bathtub and allowed him to go into a tunnel he had built underneath, fled through basically the sewer system under the city and got away. Later, when he was captured, he was in prison in a maximum security facility in near Mexico City. And in that instance, his associates dug a mile-long tunnel from a house outside of the prison into the shower inside his prison cell. He then ducked into this hole and got on a motorcycle, rode through the tunnel, and then escaped that way.
Definitely suggest he gets points for creativity. Over the course of the trial, Keegan, I'm thinking this man cannot do this in a vacuum, right? El Chapo, obviously, you mentioned, has associates, and the question now becomes whether or not there were other supports from the United States and potentially from Mexico. There were reports that he had paid off the former Mexican president.
There was an allegation that he delivered a $100 million bribe to the former president of Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto, shortly after Peña Nieto won the election in Mexico in 2012. That's just, Peña Nieto has denied that claim, and it was just an allegation from one witness. So we don't know for sure if that's true. Of course, other witnesses have testified about rampant corruption at basically all levels of law enforcement and government in Mexico. So yeah, he's not escaping without some help from the Mexican authorities.
What does this tell us about the U.S.'s role in the Mexican war on drugs?
This whole case has shown that on the one hand, when the U.S. really puts his mind to it and works in conjunction with the most trusted parts of the Mexican security forces, they can capture and bring somebody like Chapo to justice. On the other hand, we've seen time and time again just how futile this all is in terms of the big picture war on drugs. I mean, Chapo has been in U.S. custody for almost 2 years now, and we've seen no reduction in the supply of drugs, no effect whatsoever. His brother and sons have basically taken over his business. His partner, Almayo Zambada, remains free. And even if all of them were captured, it's likely that somebody else would just step up and continue supplying and meeting the demand.
The prosecution spent 11 weeks outlining their case against El Chapo. The defense spent 30 minutes. Why?
You know, it's not uncommon for the defense to simply say, we don't think you proved your case. We have nothing more to say. You didn't meet the burden of proof. This was a little unusual because instead of just saying nothing, they called a single witness who was an FBI agent who they basically asked about something that was sort of minor. He was taking notes in an interview with one of the witnesses, and they wanted to clear up exactly what was said. I think in the eyes of the jury, it probably came across as there is no defense. This is the best you've got, is this one U.S. law enforcement agent who obviously isn't testifying on behalf of Chapo. So the contrast was very striking.
I'm going to assume that this is not going to wrap quickly, but we never know, right?
Well, we'll get closing arguments from the government and the defense, and then it will go to the jury for a verdict, potentially as soon as Friday, although it could stretch into next week. We're hoping for a quick wrap, but you never know. This thing has gone on for over 11 weeks now, so I wouldn't be surprised if it lasts a little bit longer.
What happens if Chapo is found guilty?
If Chapo is found guilty, he faces the most serious charge, he faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison with no chance of parole.
In Mexico or in the U.S.?
In a U.S. federal prison, everybody expects that he will go to the Supermax prison in Colorado, the so-called Alcatraz of the Rockies, where there has not been an escape. And it seems unlikely, even with Chapo's tunneling abilities, that he would remain there until he dies.
Keegan Hamilton, the expert here and U.S. editor with Vice News and host of the podcast Chapo, Kingpin on Trial. Thank you so much. We'll be watching for your reporting.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me.